If you're going to have this kind of ideological ecumenism and why can't we all just get along, doesn't that put commitment to the truth at least in the back seat, if not at the curb?
I get long, long comment threads and I read them, and I'm not surrendering to anybody. No, we're not talking about surrender. If you hold your values truly, your values are not in any danger. The person you're sitting down to should worry about their values possibly changing.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us from the Station of the Cross Studios, your local radio station, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. As always, let's start with prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Almighty God, through the intercession of St. Ignatius Loyola, we ask to pour forth your Holy Spirit upon us, a spirit of discernment, that they might hear your voice and obey your command. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, friends, it is Friday. Thank you, Jesus. And that means at the top of the hour, it is you and me on the Catholic Current with Weekend Readiness, where we look at hot headlines affecting the Church and the world in light of the upcoming Sunday scriptures. So you'll be all prayed up for Sunday. If you're following the Novus Ordo calendar, the Pauline Rite, we're at lectionary number 44, the second Sunday of Easter. Let's look at headlines. And I know the Easter liturgies these days talk about being overcome with paschal joy. Whoever wrote that hasn't been following headlines in recent weeks and months. I think we can say that. Where to begin? Well, you can talk about, hey, it turns out Hunter Biden's laptop is Hunter Biden's laptop. And what does that all mean? And oh my goodness, there's been a shooting. Who or what shall we blame? And how shall this be exploited for political purposes, depending upon where you are in the political spectrum? There's talk of a schism in the Catholic Church in Germany. As they follow this synodal way, people are acknowledging the fifth anniversary of the encyclical Amoris Laetitiae, a very controversial document. Regarding the COVID interruption, depending upon whom you believe, getting an injection is a matter of social justice and its love of neighbor. According to the Food and Drug Administration, it actually won't prevent you from getting COVID and won't keep you from giving COVID. So the merits of it, in light of what the Food and Drug Administration, if I have to say, are not clear to me. I'd be happy to be filled in about that. Racism is in the news again. Documented incidents of racism that turned out to be hoaxes on college campuses again. And a lot of finger pointing and a lot of blame, and sadly, more and more violence. And yet here we are, being assured that in this time, we are overcome with paschal joy. And if you want to say, yeah, no, not so much, I'm not going to argue with you about that. Instead, I'll say, well, let's look at the scriptures. And the gospel account is one of our Lord's post-resurrection appearances from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Isn't it interesting that whenever the risen Lord appears to the apostles, he says, peace be with you? Well, why? Well, the apostles were traumatized. They had some kind of PTSD. They were being hunted unto death. They're frightened and confused. Maybe they're even ashamed to meet the risen Lord because they ran off on him. Peter denied him three times. If you're a sinner and you've got a not entirely unambiguous relationship with your sin and a rather ambiguous relationship with Christ, meeting the risen Lord can seem terrifying. But our Lord comes and says, peace be with you, and receive the Holy Spirit, which is say, amen, show up and give us the Holy Spirit, because living according to our own wisdom, our own goodness, our own energy, our own insights, it's not working. It's obviously not working. Now, Thomas, one of the 12, now known as Doubting Thomas for better or worse, when they tell him, we've seen the Lord, he doesn't believe. He says, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Well, what can we learn from that? Well, one of the reasons why Thomas didn't believe and didn't at that time receive the Holy Spirit along with the rest of the apostles was he wasn't there. He had separated himself from the body of believers. That's not good. And I want us to think about that during the ongoing season of COVID tide, where most dioceses, the obligation to ascend Sunday Mass has been suspended, lifted, depending upon how you want to phrase it. And a lot of people who really, really could come to church, and people have told me this directly, they're just not because they can't be bothered. They're not convinced that they're missing anything. They can see a prettier church and hear nicer music on television. And, you know, you can still have your jammies on and curl up on the couch and sort of kind of do Mass without having to get the car out of the garage. And you still have the rest of the day to get on with real life and to get ready for Monday, which is the onset of really real life. Well, if that's your attitude, then paschal joy, not so much, and remaining faithful unto death in the face of persecutions that are coming our way, almost certainly not, barring dramatic divine intervention, and grace does build on nature. So let's come back to Mass. You know, if a doctor says, oh my gosh, don't step out of doors, I'm not a doctor, I'm not going to argue with that. But if you can, really, you should. And if you're not inclined to, I'm not going to wag my finger at you. I'm not going to throw a stone at you. I'm not going to set your house on fire. But I will say this much. You better ask yourself why you are disinclined to come back to Mass and why you're using COVID as an excuse. You may ask yourself that question. You may not. Our Lord is certainly going to ask you about that at your particular judgment. And I don't think he finds excuses persuasive. So treat this as an opportunity to figure out, where am I really with the Lord? What does it really mean to be invested, committed, interwoven with the body of believers? Let's go back to St. Thomas again. He found it harder to believe in the resurrection because he withdrew from the community of believers. He missed out on what God was doing among his people. And God can do more good with us when we're together as friends in the Lord, and we're more likely to stay with Christ when we stay together. You know, the predators, whether they're four-legged or two-legged, they don't look for the strong. And they don't look for those who are well-connected with friends and allies. Instead, they look for isolated individuals to prey upon. And it's easier for our enemy to pick us off one by one than if we're standing together. So what shall we do with that fact? Well, we have to face the facts, and the facts are these. First, as Christians, we have enemies, secular, sectarian, and spiritual, who hate us because we are Christians. Some of our enemies want us silent or silenced. Some want us compromised, and honestly, some of our enemies want us dead. Second, as Christians, we're not helpless because our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. God, our Lord, gives us his Holy Spirit, the same Spirit by which he raised Jesus from the dead, and he gave us each other. So let's not whine about being helpless and powerless. But let's cooperate with the gifts of grace that God has given us. And third, as Christians, our mission is to spread, to endure, and to triumph. Our vocation is to finally share in the glory of the Lord in the home of our Heavenly Father, where already a banquet is prepared for us. Too often, we accept the imposed role of walking around as if we're defeated, and that's a lie. So in light of these three facts of having enemies, we're not helpless, and we have a mission, We can see we've got work to do. We have to deepen our bonds with Christ, and we have to deepen our bonds with one another. And if we do that, we'll be able to draw our strength from Christ and Christ's strength given to us through one another, as well as Him directly. And if we're able to draw our strength from the Maker of heaven and earth, then before the whole world and the entire company of heaven, we can echo the words of the psalm, "I was hard pressed and was falling, but the Lord helped me. My strength and my courage is the Lord, and He has been my Savior." May God's holy name be praised now and forever. Friends, I'm Jesuit Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your host here on this Friday here on the Catholic Current. Stay with us for the whole hour. We'll welcome back our friend Matt Archbold. He has a wonderful blog called creativeminorityreport.com. Check out his new novel called American Antigone. I'm going to ask him, whatever happened to Easter? It's only the Friday in the octave of Easter. I think a lot of us have forgotten. It's a conversation that you'll want to be a part of. Remember, our rallying cry here at the Catholic Current is Christus Mundo, Mundus Christo, bringing Christ to the world and the world to Christ. We do it because our Lord says so, for the greater glory of God, the love of our neighbor, and the salvation of our own soul. After the broadcast today, go to thestationofthecross.com, get our resources list, download our audio as podcast. Keep the conversation going, and together we'll take it around the world. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Cross Catholic Outreach underwrites with the Station of the Cross.
In Nicaragua, many children growing up in rural areas don't know what it's like to have clean, safe drinking water. Their water sources are often shared with farm animals, and the water is infested with high levels of bacteria. Together, we can change that. Cross Catholic Outreach works with local Christian partners to provide clean, abundant water to families in need. This mission dramatically transforms the health and lives for generations to come. Visit crosscatholic.org/transform to learn more.
You're listening to The Catholic Current with Father Robert McTague from the studios of the Station of the Cross radio network. Stay connected with the show, our guests, and topics by following the show on Twitter and Gab. Just search for The Catholic Current.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current. We bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us from the Station of the Cross Studios, your local radio station, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. Well, friends, it is Friday. That means at the top of the hour, it was just you and me, Week in Readiness, reviewing headlines of the week in light of the upcoming Sunday scriptures, where I was obliged to say something sagacious about the Gospels and resurrection appearances. I want to continue the conversation with a returning guest. Check out his new novel, American Antigone, and his blog called Creative Minority Report. Matt Archbold, thank you again for being a friend to the show, and thank you for joining me in conversation today.
Thanks for having me. I always enjoy it, Father. Thanks.
Matt, I took the topic heading "Whatever happened to Easter," and you know we're still strictly speaking in the octave of Easter, and liturgical texts say every day now, "Overcome by Paschal joy, my Paschal joy fainting couch that I should be retiring to apparently on a regular basis for the coming weeks that hasn't seen a lot of use just yet. Have you been overcome by Paschal joy? Have you been managed to get off your fainting couch? Have you been swooning in ecstasy? How have you been spending the days since Easter Sunday has come and gone?
It is funny. I often say, you know, as a kid, you know, Christmas was the center of the year. You know, mm-hmm. Everything was, how far are we from Christmas? Oh no, we have 364 days till Christmas, you know.
Right, right.
But the older I've gotten, really the year becomes centered around Easter. Mm-hmm. It really is truly the most important day. And so I do tend to have moments of elation, which I then nap away, but spiritual backsliding is why we need a Savior in the first place.
And this is why we also need to have the liturgical year repeat itself from year to year, so that we can learn lessons and not only have them repeated, but come back to them at deeper and deeper levels. And I'm like you. I mean, oh my gosh, when I was a little kid, and I don't know if you're old enough to remember the Sears Christmas catalog. But that was an event. That was my experience of John the Baptist to prepare the way of the Lord, and I would just go line by line through the Christmas catalog. Now not so much. As I get older and I think more about death, and I start adding the names of more friends that I pray for at Mass who have gone before me to God, I want to reflect more about Easter, about overcoming death, and about rearranging my life in light of that fact. I know during the Easter season, we talk about the appearances of the Lord, people not recognizing them. And I said, you know, maybe I'm in good company if I don't get Easter quite right on the first try. And I know that what we're going to be thinking about the so-called Doubting Thomas. And you wrote a thoughtful essay the other day in your blog, which we're linking to, about Doubting Thomas is St. Thomas. Tell us about that.
Well, I've always been fascinated with how, you know, Thomas got the moniker Doubting Thomas. I mean, that's a pretty tough deal. You know, most of us get to, you know, we have a terrible nickname in high school and then we move away and it kind of goes away. But we're talking thousands of years here where Doubting Thomas has kind of stuck with him. And I think one of the reasons for that is not to put him down. It's just something so absolutely relatable that we all doubt at times. But the great and beautiful thing is that we are not just our sins.
Yes.
We're what we allow God to make us into. And in the end, we have to remember the more important moniker for Thomas is not Doubting Thomas, but Saint Thomas.
Right.
That's who he really is. And that's, you know, Doubting Thomas might be what we all are, but we can all be saints. That's our calling, and that's where we should be heading.
Friends, I'm in conversation with an old friend of the show, Matt Archbold. Check out his novel, American Antigone, and his blog called CreativeMinorityReport.com. We're talking about whatever happened to Easter. Matt, I think one of the important lessons of Easter is that we have to learn how to live as forgiven. You know, one of the great tactics of hell is to insist that we are defined by our sin, and especially by the sins we are most ashamed of. And that is the most important thing about us, and that should be on the forefront of our mind at every possible moment. And it's simply not true. What's most important about us is our baptism. What defines us is our relationship to Christ, and our relationship to Christ, who himself is victorious over sin and death and wants to share his victory and even his glory with us. And that's why, you know, friends, if you're walking around with this damp, smelly cloak of constant, unrelenting shame, say, look, I've repented of my sins. I've gone to confession. I'm amending my life. I really do have a fresh baptismal garment on. And I think we need to recover that sense that we are following the victorious Christ. We are following the risen Savior who does share his victory with us. I think one of the reasons why I pick the topic of whatever happened to Easter is, you know, I know there are women who talk about postpartum depression. I suffer from a post-Pentecost depression. You know, the Holy Spirit descends upon us upon tongues of fire. We're ready to set the whole world on fire. And, oh, it's Monday. It's back to work. And we act as if nothing happened. Have you had the experience of it's Easter, Christ is risen, it's Easter Monday, time to make the donuts again? Has that ever been part of your experience?
This Easter, I actually was feeling tremendously inspired. And I think the trick is somehow we have to take that feeling that we had on Sunday and infuse it into our Monday morning, because a lot of times what happens is, you know, we go into our week and we become, you know, that person again. And we kind of go back to what we were before, instead of just having it that, you know, what we were on that Sunday, what we knew we were called to be, what we're inspired to be. And instead of bringing that Sunday inspiration into our Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays, right, instead we just go back to Monday morning and, oh, I'm back, time to make the donuts, like you said.
Right.
And we don't let it infuse our lives. And that's when we forget. But, you know, Jesus knew this was going to happen. Jesus, he knew. And he went through the horror of the crucifixion and all that pain. And what was one of the first things he did when he came back? He instituted the sacrament of confession because he knew that his work was not done. He knew that we had, that the church had to continue reaching out to us and calling us in so we could continue the work of making ourselves worthy of him.
You know, I think that sense of memory is so important. I like to tell the story of Winston Churchill, who related about a man who fell down a long flight of stairs, landed with a great crash, and the guy picked himself up, dusted himself off, and looked over his shoulder and said, "Oh, I wonder what all that noise was about." And likewise, for Lent and Easter together, I wonder what all that noise was about. I had an uncle who was a serious chain smoker of unfiltered Camels, which is like smoking old rug or gym rope. And he would completely cease smoking for Easter, for Lent, and then take it back on Easter Sunday. And my father, who struggled with smoking for years, said, "I don't know how he does it. How do you give up smoking for 40 days and then take it back up again?" And so likewise, if we're going to be overcome by Paschal joy, if we're going to be united with Christ and his cross and his sufferings, and then celebrate his victory over death, and then get back to, wait, something happened? Oh, there goes the phone. What steps can we take? And I know we'll talk about this more in later segments, but here we are. We're still in the octave of Easter, still obliged to be overcome with Paschal joy. What steps can we begin to take to carry our celebration of the Easter mysteries forward beyond the octave of Easter?
I think one of the main things you have to try to do is, one thing I try to do is go to Mass as often as possible. Mass is not just an obligation, it's an opportunity. And if you can get out to go to daily Mass, it is one of the greatest things you can do. And if you want to feel young, go to daily Mass. You're probably going to be one of the youngest there. And I think one of the things is we have to remember to ignore Easter is to ignore Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we on Good Friday, we proved ourselves human and in need of a Savior. Mm-hmm. And on Easter Sunday, Jesus showed himself to be God and our Savior. And we have to remember that at all times and really live like that. I have a neighbor across the street who truly believes, he was struck by lightning, and he truly believes Mary appeared to him and fixed him up, helped him out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he doesn't attend Mass.
And
I, you know, I try to gently nudge him that way. And, you know, he said, I'm a good Catholic. I just don't go to Mass. And I'm like, well, you have a funny way of saying thank you, you know?
Well, yeah. And I wonder where he got that idea of, yeah, Mass, that's kind of dispensable. I think we need to I think if we're going to recover a sense of Easter, we also have to recover a sense of Sabbath. I said, what if we lived our lives that the high point of the week wasn't Friday, but Sunday? Which was more than just kind of a liturgical happy hour. And what if by Wednesday, over the hump week was, oh man, I'm getting closer to Sunday. What if we we're able to worship in such a way and pray during the week in such a way that we lived from and for one Sunday after another. What if we lived from the Easter of year by year for the eternal Easter of heaven? I think our lives would look very differently. I'm willing to bet the people who live with us would find us easier to live with, and we would have a lot more to give to the next generation. And that's something that I want to talk about in the next segment. Living with gratitude, I'm going to suggest, and I'll explain it more, starts with memory. Friends, when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with author, blogger, raconteur, and friend Matt Archbold. We're talking about whatever happened to Easter. The next segment, we're going to talk about the link between memory and gratitude. After the broadcast today, go to thestationofthecross.com, get our resources list, download our audio as podcast. Subscribe to your channel wherever you find us. Write a 5-star review. Please attract the attention of the algorithms so that these conversations get the attention that they deserve. Together, we can take this around the world, and we cannot do it without you. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Stay with us.
This is the Catholic Current from the studios of the Station of the Cross Radio Network. Want to catch up on a past episode or share them with a friend? Find podcasted episodes wherever you enjoy listening, including Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us from the Station of the Cross Studios, your local radio station, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. My returning guest today is a friend of the show, Matt Archbold. Check out his new novel called American Antigone and his blog called creativeminorityreport.com. Matt, in our conversation of whatever happened to Easter, whatever Easter joy is, whether we're overcome with it or not is another topic, but whatever Easter joy is, for it to be maintained, for it to make an enduring difference, I think it has to be linked to gratitude, and gratitude has to be linked to memory. And I want to expand on this in light of a conversation a gentleman I know who's a very, very proud father of a very much beloved daughter. And he likes to say the following. He says, you know, my daughter is growing now. She's a wonderful young noble woman in her mid-20s. And whenever I look at her, I see all of her ages. Not only the literate polyglot college graduate about to be married, but I think of the first time the little pink bundle was put in my arms, and it changed absolutely everything. And I think of the toddler running around with chocolate frosting on her face and in her hair, which soon ended up on the walls. Said I think of the awkward years, which were both awkward in years, and which somehow we both endured. On and on it went. And so I think one of the ways to maintain Paschal joy, to live as forgiven the way Easter calls us to, is to have that same sense of when we look at our lives, we have to look at all of what God has been doing throughout the liturgical year and even throughout the whole dramatic story of creation and salvation, that I have to understand that I am a sinner and a loved sinner, and I'm part of a very great story. Does this sound is this making sense to you, or am I just babbling because I'm running out of coffee this morning?
No, I think you're spot on. You know, when I look back on my daughter, my oldest daughter, I think of the first time she rolled her eyes at me or made a sarcastic comment to me, and it just really fills my heart with joy.
Oh, your daughter does that too? Wow. I hear that's a thing.
I really do believe, you know, people say when people settle down, they have kids, then they tend to go to church more, and it's for the kids. And I always say it's not for the kids, it's because of the kids.
Okay.
And I believe gratitude is the pathway to faith. It's like mm-hmm. the greatest gateway drug there is to faith. I think when we just have our own lives, you know, we're consumed with ourselves, we're obsessed with ourselves, but we're not grateful for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and sometimes we easily dismiss ourselves because we're in charge of us, you know, that it has nothing to do with it. But when you see, when you're given this wonderful, this miracle of a human being, and all of a sudden you're holding this child in your arms, it just opens up a world of gratitude. And, mm-hmm. and you can't believe you've been entrusted with this soul. And it's right. so much responsibility. And that's what leaves me. I'm so overwhelmed by it, overwhelmed with gratitude and the feeling that I'm responsible for it, that I go to church to say thank you for it. And I go to church to help me make the right decisions along the way. And I always say, you know, my kids have brought me closer to God, not because they had anything of interest to say, because I'm still waiting for them to say something interesting, but it's because of the gratitude I feel for them.
Right, right. You know, I think that is so important. You know, Whitaker Chamber, who started off his early adult life as a communist and eventually became a Catholic, and he said his atheism came to an end when he was looking at the ear of his infant daughter and saw its vulnerability and its complexity and its beauty, and said, that can't happen by accident. There has to be a God. And I think we rush through life. We rush through life so very, very quickly. Christmas season is over on December 26th. You know, Easter season is over as soon as we get rid of the lilies and pick up the wrappings from the chocolate, and then we're on to the next thing. And I think that's a tragic mistake, that gratitude, which Saint Ignatius Loyola said is the virtue that's most pleasing to heaven. Gratitude takes time. Gratitude involves stopping to count your blessings and let yourself be amazed. I was looking at, speaking of amazement, I was looking at another blog post you wrote, which we're linking to in the show notes, where you had an unexpected encounter with the stars. Could you tell us about that, please? Because I think that opens a wide door to a reflection on gratitude.
Absolutely. It's a story I often tell, because it was a big change in my life. I mean, I was driving a young woman I knew back to college. We were the same age at the time, obviously. And it was after Christmas break. And at that time, I was lost, essentially. You know, we both didn't know what we wanted in life, what we believed in life. But we were pretty sure we were awesome. I'll tell you that. And
I've taught those kids in college before, you know. They keep coming back every year.
They look slightly different.
Yeah.
Still the same narcissism. Yeah.
Right, right.
And I pulled over to grab a soda. It was a long trip up
sure.
to upstate New York. And as I got out of the car, I looked up, and the stars in the sky were so numerous and so bright. I'd never seen it like that. You know, you think, you look up, you see the stars, but it was just one of those things. It just, everything seemed lit up, magnified, closer. I still don't know what it was. And, you know, maybe I was just far enough from the synthetic dawn of New York City, you know, that perennial dawn that's around it.
Sure.
That really, I saw it for the first time, and something moved in me. And I said to the girl I was with, I was like, you got to get out and look at this. This is amazing. And she just kept saying, no, I don't want to see it. I don't care. I don't care. And I was like, oh, no. If you saw this, you would care. This is unbelievable. And something moved in me that day. And it wasn't something where, you know, my life turned around 180 degrees. It kind of turned 3 or 4 degrees that day, but it started an arc,
right.
And I became convinced slowly that there was something else going on here other than me.
Right, Right. Oh, my goodness. That is so important. Friends, I'm in conversation with author and blogger Matt Archbold. Check out his new novel called American Antigone and his website called creativeminorityreport.com. But I want to extend that reflection on gratitude and amazement. You know, Thomas Aquinas said that a philosopher may be likened unto a poet in this way. Both are concerned with the marvelous. And wonder begins with recognizing that, wow, I really don't know it all, which is hard for a 20-year-old to admit, at least most of the 20-year-olds that I've met over the years. And I may have met a 20-year-old myself, I think, but only very briefly. And then there's a sense of incompleteness and that I have a small role to play in a large drama. And then you begin to discover, But it's actually an important role to play because this is where God placed me. And if we begin to recognize that we're sinners, that we're loved sinners, that we are part of an amazing story that needs to be told again and again and handed on to the next generation, that can be an organizing principle for your whole life. You know, you can build a religious community around that. You can build a parish around that. I think you can build a family life around that also. How does that sound to you?
Yeah, I mean, that seems like something to build a life around. I still remember when I just had two kids, my mother came over to help out. And it's so funny. The things that are so obvious, these easy ideas, these layups, they take me so long to figure out. And then once I see it, I'm like, oh my gosh, how stupid was I? But I was playing with my two kids and my mother was over visiting, and I was just filled with love for these children. Mm-hmm. I looked up at my mother, mm-hmm. and it finally occurred to me, like, this is how you feel about me.
Right.
And then all of a sudden I thought, holy moly, I've been kind of a jerk. <You know?
laughs> I knew a woman who said the first time she was in labor, she relived and regretted every lousy thing she had ever said to her mother.
Yeah, you think of all the times you didn't call, and then you exaggerate that, and you bring it to God. And I just think to myself, I say to my kids all the time, if you knew how much I really loved you, you wouldn't put yourself in danger or make any stupid decisions. And, you know, I've said it so much that they ignore right. me like everything else. But it's the same with God. God has to feel like, if you knew how much I loved you,
right.
it would change your world. And to the extent that I have accepted that, it has changed my world.
Mm-hmm.
It is a life-changing bit of news that God, the creator of the universe, took his time and created you for a special purpose. That knowledge is life-changing. That life-changing news is the good news. And
right.
that's why I spend my life spreading it, because it's worth spreading. It's life-changing.
And recognizing yourself as a loved sinner, as an adopted child of God, an heir to a very great kingdom, that's very, very different from the cult of self-esteem. When I was a new priest, and believe it or not, even more unfiltered and outspoken than I am now, I caused a stampede out of a student mass into the counseling center because I said, God doesn't care about your self-esteem. He wants to make you holy and give you joy, in which case staring into your navel and marveling at your growth just isn't very interesting. And they hadn't heard anything like that before. And in a certain sense, maybe it's not their fault. But, you know, I also think of that madman and philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, who said, I'd be more inclined to believe in the Christian Savior if Christians look like they were saved. You know, I've been at very many parishes as I travel, and, you know, I'm told that, oh, it's wonderful that the liturgy is in the vernacular because people understand. And I said, well, I'll say that their understanding is mirrored in their behavior and how they dress. So I'd say, the Lord be with you. And the resounding response was, lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And I said, wow, guys, I'm not hearing it. I'm not feeling it. And then, as a kid, I saw a pastor, you know, Easter, you know, second Sunday of Easter, oh Lord, that we might be filled with the joy, Joy, sighed, looked at his watch. Joy of Easter. So we don't have to be giddy, but if there is no evidence that something is different about us because we've met the risen Lord, then we need to stop what we're doing and look at our lives very, very carefully and say, do I really believe? And can anyone else believe by looking at how I apparently don't believe? And I think these are questions for us to be asking ourselves. I think that the habit of self-examination shouldn't end with Lent. It's something that should continue into the Easter season as well. Friends, we come back a moment to continue my conversation with author and blogger Matt Archbold. Check out his blog at creativeminorityreport.com. And please treat yourself, read his new novel called American Antigone. In the next segment, we're going to talk about how to plan for a life with hope. Hope seems to be in short supply these days. I think we need to do something about it. After the broadcast today, go to thestationofthecross.com, get our resources list, download our audio as podcast. Be part of the conversation and follow what we're following by following us on Gab. That's GAB.com. Look for us on the channel called The Catholic Current. There's an interesting and stimulating community to be found there. You should be a part of it. Friends, we'll be back in 2 minutes. Please do stay with us.
Jesus 911, now weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern.
My name is Jesse Romero. I'm a retired Los Angeles cop. I'm a Catholic lay evangelist. My show on spiritual warfare is called Jesus 911, where you got three retired LA cops, Ruben Nava, Eddie Chavez, talking about the Catholic faith and teaching you spiritual warfare, how to defend yourself against the devil, the world, and the flesh.
Catch the Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Station of the Cross and the iCatholic Radio mobile app. You're listening to The Catholic Current. After today's broadcast, go to the Catholic Current show page on thestationofthecross.com for the list of today's show resources. You can also sign up for our weekly email under our on-demand player.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTagg of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us from the Station of the Cross Studios, your local radio station, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. My returning guest today is author and blogger Matt Archbold. Check out his website, creativeminorityreport.com. We're talking about whatever happened to Easter joy. Matt, you know, Socrates said that the unexamined life is not worth living. I think Aristotle would say the unplanned life cannot be lived well. I think if we're going to live as real disciples of Christ, we can't just blunder from one day to the next. We need to have a plan, and we need to plan as people who know that they're loved and not spiritual orphans. That having been said, given the fact that 2021 seems to be the ugly stepchild of the year 2020, how can we meaningfully talk about hope, victory, glory, joy going forward? I'm an Irish melancholic. How about you? What do you hear when you hear the word hope?
It's fascinating. This year has showed us so clearly that people are desperate to hear the truth. And they are, you hear about the numbers of teens and people being depressed and sad because they've had everything taken away from them. Mm-hmm. They've had their friends taken away. They've had their school taken away. They've had their jobs taken away. And they don't feel connected to anything. And that's mm-hmm. having calamitous effects on our culture. And I think now is the perfect time to tell them, you are not disconnected. You are connected in ways that you cannot possibly imagine. We are all connected. We are all together. We are all loved by God. And you have a role to play. And it's not something, you know, and it's not playing video games. And it's not working your
minimum wage job. This is a crucial role that you were created to play. And I think once people really hear it, and, you know, there's something amazing going on in that. Remember the big atheist movement that happened about a decade ago?
Right.
The atheists were going to take over. Well, they failed. They failed. It didn't work. People didn't accept it. What happened is all these people, they went off into these odd new age tangents and Wicca. And now I think there's more Wiccans than there are Methodists. And, you know, that's telling you something.
Right.
People do believe that there's something more. And we as Catholics have to talk to them about what we believe. And
right.
We have to get it out there. We have to stop saying that we're going to meet you where you are. We're going to see you where you are. There's something to that. But there's also calling these people out of themselves, out of the situation, inspiring them to do better. And,
right.
You know, I think the church has to get back into the business of inspiring people to be better. And, you know, all of our church documents should not sound like a United Nations subcommittee.
Amen.
You know, we should not be talking about purely things of this world, but things of the next world. And, you know, and we have to remind them that this stuff is not just kind of important. It's not just important. It's the most important thing. It
right.
is the narrative that binds all of us together. And that is what everyone needs to hear right now.
Oh, man, I'm in full agreement with you. Yeah, I remember 10, 15 years ago, there was the new atheism that was going to spank faith and put it in the corner where it belongs. And that didn't happen. And the paradox is this. We're made for the transcendent. We're miserable without it. And, you know, you either go looking for love in all the wrong places with, you know, new age religions and cults, et cetera, or you look for the transcendent in Burning Man, God help us. But, you know, at the same time, we live sometimes as practical atheists. You know, there are lots of people who go to Mass on Sunday. They really don't know why. Apparently they have to be in compliance because there's going to be an audit someday. But then it makes no difference. And the proof it doesn't make any difference is they're all killing each other to get out of the parking lot after celebrating the sacrament of what they call love and unity. And that's a nonsense too. We're made for God. We're miserable without God. And we need to be able to talk about it some more. You know, the motto of the old Jesuit missionary was enter through their door and lead them through yours. I think we enter through their door and then we just kind of stay there and hang out. And you can't give what you don't have. So I think if we talk with marbles in our mouth when we talk about Christ, could it be possibly that we don't know him as well as we should?
Absolutely. And I think one thing is we have to deepen our knowledge, but also, and I think even more importantly, we have to man up. You know, life is not about agreement. You know, I would far, far more enjoy clarity in disagreement than just to agree to something that none of us really believe.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to have the guts to say the church thinks that's a sin. No, the church says there is a hell. You know, that stuff matters. And if we don't say what the church believes, then does the church really believe it anymore? You know, if we're not telling it to people, how is that evangelism? You know, without talking about hell. You know what? Hell still exists. You're just not helping people avoid it anymore. And that's the thing we need to get back to explaining our faith and not being afraid to answer the hard questions, because people want to be called to be better. You know, and things like moving Ascension Thursday to Ascension Sunday because no one was showing up anyway, you know, instead of, you know, backsliding it, you know, and treating it like it's one of those family birthday parties, you know, when you get together for Thanksgiving and you celebrate mm-hmm. 8 different birthday parties.
Right,
you know, let's be honest about it. Let's call people. Let's just try harder to get more people to acknowledge what happened on Ascension Thursday rather than ignoring it on Ascension Sunday, but getting it technically in. You know, this stuff truly is important, and we have to get the word out there that God loves you, and it is world-changing.
No, I'm in agreement. The idea that, hey, you know what will work? Let's just add more water to the broth. I'm thinking that that's not it. Now, I had a very great privilege of functioning as priest at a solemn high mass on Holy Thursday, and suffice to say the preparations were elaborate, and I was talking to the two priests there serving as deacon and subdeacon, and I said, well, you would almost think that the Eucharist is the source and summit of our lives. You know, in light of the great deal of care and attention and devotion and so on. And yes, I sang off key because that's the only thing I can do as far as I can tell. But no one could doubt, if you just walked in off the street, that whatever these people were doing, they believed it and they were giving their best to it. And that can lead to questions and conversation and conversion. And oh my gosh, we need a hell of a lot more than that. I'm Matt Archibald of Creative Minority Report. God bless your good work. Thanks for being a friend. Let's have another on-air conversation soon.
Thank you, Father. God bless.
I'm Jesuit Father Robert McTague, your host here at the Catholic Current, Monday through Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Join us on Monday. We're going to have two guests. We're going to be talking about votes, courts, and political power. It's going to be practical, and we're going to make it inspirational as well, God willing. Through the intercession of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, may God our Lord surround you with a legion of guardian angels with flaming swords to light your path, to protect you from all harm and every evil, to reach the happiness of heaven. May the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Go in peace, and please do pray for me.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by thestationofthecross.com, a listener-funded nonprofit organization. If this podcast has helped you in your spiritual journey, please prayerfully consider donating at thestationofthecross.com by calling 1-877-888-6279 or through our free iCatholic Radio mobile app.